it's going to be a little different, right? I guess this is how it was done when this sanctuary was first built, right? So we can trust there's good acoustics. For those of you using the hearing loop, I apologize if I'm too loud. I'm going to try to regulate things here. We'll see how it goes. I first heard this quote from Martin Luther a while ago, and I'm not sure when or how I did, who I first heard it from, but I heard that Martin Luther said, "If I knew that tomorrow was the end of the world, I would plant an apple tree today." And when I heard that, and heard that it was said by Martin Luther, right, one of the leaders of the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century, I thought, oh, yeah, that's really profound that Luther said that. Now, that strikes you as profound, too. That's good. If you're not sure if it's profound or not, profound or not quite sure what it means, that's all right. We'll get to that, too. But first, I have to tell you that very soon after I heard that quote, I heard people hedging on it a bit, too. Martin Luther is purported to have said this. Well, so Luther may have said it, right? That's still something. I still think it's profound. And actually, I've passed on this quote and ascribed it to Luther to a fair amount of people over the years. I'd say, you know, Luther supposedly said that if he knew the world was to end tomorrow, he would plant an apple tree today. I wouldn't just randomly say this to people. I would say this in theologically appropriate situations, and people would smile and nod, yeah, and they'd say that. They thought that that was interesting, too. But it turns out it doesn't take much fact-checking at all to realize that Martin Luther almost completely certainly did not say this. Since it isn't found in any of Luther's existing writings, and it was somehow appeared in the 1940s that it was being ascribed to him, but never before. But ever since then, people like me have heard it and said, you know, I heard Martin Luther say. So now I find myself with a situation. I have a great quote, but no one to quote it from, right? That's a problem. Maybe the question becomes instead, should Martin Luther have said this? Or perhaps better, what I mean to ask is this really good theology for us to be passing on? Something that we in the Protestant tradition, kin to Luther, would want to claim as our own. Maybe that we would want to ascribe to John Calvin instead, as long as we're misquoting prominent theologians, right? If I knew that tomorrow was the end of the world, I would plant an apple tree today. Well, let me tell you why I think that that is such good theology. Quote worthy if someone had actually said it. The idea that it encapsulates is that it takes that idea of the end of the world, which is usually kind of a code language for God's final judgment of the peoples of the world, code for the stuff of heaven and hell and a lot of fire and destruction. It takes that end of the world and links it with this world and with right now, with the stuff of what is present here and now. In the words of my quote with no source, it says that after the end of the world, the apple tree that you plant will be a part of what's next. Theologically, it says that the end of the world is not so much about destruction as it is about fulfillment. And that's part of what I find so intriguing and profound, and that I've had some people nod with me over the years as we've wondered about that idea. I think it's a quote we could wish for a good theologian to have said. So does that mean we could even say it's a biblical quote? Not a quote from the Bible. I don't want to get another misunderstanding going here. But an idea that reflects what the Bible expresses, perhaps expresses in Revelation 21. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." The book of Revelation expresses an end of the world vision. A vision that through images and words speaks of the culmination of God's salvation history. And it is often a vision that is used theologically to speak a lot about destruction and heaven and hell sort of judgment. But what about this image from Revelation, which is a culmination of all that has happened in the Revelation drama? heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Is that something that echoes that idea of if the world were to end tomorrow, I would plant a tree today? Well, it says there's a new heaven and a new earth, but the first has passed away. I don't know, maybe it seems like that apple tree of ours doesn't fare so well in this scenario. Except, what does that word new mean? Does it mean that the first, the former, is destroyed, replaced, gone? That is sometimes what new means. Perhaps often that's what it means, or perhaps often that's what we make it mean in a culture where we think of new as good and old not so much. But I'd like to explore a different idea, a different meaning of new with you. And just so you think that I'm not trying to play some biblical interpretation tricks on you as I do, what we have to do first is take a quick field trip to today's gospel lesson in John 13 to find out something new about new. John 13. We hear Jesus talking with his disciples, and he says, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another." But here's the thing. That is not a new commandment, right? To love others, to love your neighbor as yourself, this was a central law given by God to Israel. This prescription to love others has for centuries been part of the Jewish covenant religion in which Jesus and these disciples have been raised and in which they abide. Love one another is not a new commandment. So why does Jesus say it is a new commandment? It's because new can mean something other than brand new. Something even other than starting over or replacing. New can also mean fulfilling and completing and renewing. It can mean reclaiming and restoring and redeeming. When Jesus speaks of a new commandment, what it means for us as followers of Jesus Christ is that it is in Christ that we see the full content of what that love is about. As I have loved you, love one another, Jesus goes on to say. The commandment hasn't changed, but the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which in the Gospel of John are all always swirled together, past and present and future are all always mixed together in John's Gospel, what that does is change how we see love at work from God and then in our lives and in our world. A new commandment contains the old and fulfills it. All right, so that's the end of the field trip. And that takes us back to Revelation 21 with a new perspective on new. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. With what we've learned about new from John's gospel, this vision from Revelation may indeed bring us much closer to linking together the end of the world and our apple tree than it first appeared. You can start to hear new heaven and new earth not as something that is starting over brand new, but something in continuity with what was before and now fulfilled, renewed, redeemed. It makes you start to realize that that's often what new means, both biblically and theologically. When the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, he says, to be in Christ, one is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. That's not about something being annihilated. It's about God taking who we are and redeeming us into who we are fully created to be. And right here in Revelation, a few verses later, when we hear the very voice of God say this, "See, I am making all things new." It's not about God annihilating everything and starting over. It's about the miraculous, creative Spirit of God that brings true life and fulfillment to all things, to all creatures and all creation. I make all things new. A much more profound and creative and powerful and permanent kind of new that only God can do. So it was Earth Day on Friday, right? And you've noticed that it's Earth Day Sunday in our liturgy. And this theological reflection, connecting a not Luther quote about the end of the world to planting an apple tree, connecting that to a new heaven and a new earth in Revelation, well, it's really all to say this. As Christians, one of our tragic legacies is a history much too insistent on separating the salvation that God gives in Christ from this life and from this world. A focus that is much too often otherworldly and other-lifey. One of the tragic legacies of that history is that such an understanding of salvation has often pushed Christians to be a part of devaluing and diminishing God's creation, rather than our faith supporting the flourishing of God's earth here and now. And so it seems very important to say that as we do celebrate Earth Day, repenting for misuse of God's gifts in creation, seeking to live in this world with gratitude and care, that to do so isn't just a nice gesture or a pleasant afterthought as Christians. It's good theology. It's biblical faith. I believe that the Spirit of God has been at work in this generation beyond the walls of the church in order to call the church back to such faithful earth care practices. And as that has happened, what we find is God turns us back towards a renewed gratitude and urgency to steward creation, is that the connection of salvation to creation is right there before us in the biblical witness. Not just in the beauty of the Psalms and the witness of God's creation, the goodness and bounty, but also at the very heart of God's salvation story. That what God redeems is not just people, but all of creation. I make all things new. And even more, that the promise for this new, renewed creation is not some otherworldly vision, but a fulfillment of this creation that God has made, the stuff of this world. Now, I think that's a mystery. And I know that ministers can throw around the word mystery at convenient times when we have a hard time explaining things, right? But here goes. I think it is a mystery. A mystery to me of what all that means to speak of the end of the world and heaven and earth, about it being made new in a way that has continuity with this very world and life that we know. But it is a mystery that I find incredibly heartening and inviting to explore. It really is a different sort of way of focusing our belief that we need to have settle in to us, I think, for another day or week or year or millennia or two as Christians to bring us back in a bit of a different direction. Because as we do so, we will see more and more our lives and our world participating in the redemption of God. We will more and more see that how we treat one another and God's world are part of the fulfillment that God will accomplish. It's the kind of idea that if we were to make up a clever quote about, might sound something like this. If I knew tomorrow were the end of the world, I would plant an apple tree today. That's good. A way of linking together God's creation to God's promise to make all things new. So how about if we claim that quote as our own? Luther didn't say it, but we do. And in fact, on page 9 in your announcements, you'll see that there is a tree planting today at Hope Church. And it's not just a nice Earth Day thing to do. It is an act of faith and a witness to the God who makes all things new, starting with today. And you can quote us on that. Thanks be to God. Amen.